because I like games, we're going to do another short little game with this so you can get into the rest of our stuff. Today in our, when I'm my talking here, if my tablet will work, we're going to talk about the Bible. Normally we speak kind of from the Bible. We start with a verse. Today we're actually going to talk about the Bible a little bit, and we're going to start with a quiz, see how well you know not what is necessarily in the Bible, but about the Bible. So, if I've got candy here, you get it right. If you don't get it right, it's mine, so you're not the hardest ones. No, first question. I don't know if you know this, but there's actually different Bibles. So Protestant Bible looks different than the Catholic Bible, which just looks different from the Orthodox Bible. There's different numbers of books in each Bible. We won't talk about all of the reasons for that right now, but how many books are in the Protestant Bible? Somebody got it right. I don't know who. anybody know how many are in the Catholic Bible, Roman Catholic Bible? 66, but there's more than that. There are 73. Anybody know about Eastern Orthodox Bible? How many are in that? There's 78. All right, skip that question. Okay. Actually, that's going to be too hard because there's a whole bunch of answers. What's the shortest chapter in the Bible? Shortest chapter. It is in Psalms. Don't start from the bottom and start counting up. You'll be here long. Pardon me? No? It doesn't count for the guy who's looking it up on Google as we speak. It is Psalm 117. What is the longest book in the Bible? Psalm 119. I heard it over here somewhere. Psalm 119. All right. What three languages was the Bible originally written in? Somebody, yeah, did you say all three? Yeah, it was Terry. Here, I don't know if you like peanut butter or not, Terry. I can't throw that far. Almost. All right. How many books in the Bible are normally attributed to the, and who wrote, who were written by the Apostle John? I heard five over here first somewhere. At the back is Ross. Here. It goes to Ross. There's five. Five. The Gospel of John, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, and Revelation. All right. So right pretty close to the middle of your Bible is a very long book called Psalms. It's a song book, but it's actually not one song book. It is a collection of song books. How many song books make up that one collection of Psalms? No. Not close enough to get a candy. Who said five? Yes, five is the answer. So Psalms is actually five song books collected together. Josh? I can't throw that far either. Still can't throw. That's for Josh. You can come get it. All right. How many times is the Old Testament expressly quoted in the New Testament? Not referred to. There's lots of times where there's allusions made, but this is times where it says, you know, it says, and it kind of quotes something directly. Nope. Correct. Yes. 250. All right. Got three pieces of candy, one for each answer here. Which are the three most quoted books in the New Testament? So like books from the Old Testament that are quoted in the Old Testament. Which are the three most quoted? I hear someone say Isaiah. You said Isaiah? That is, oh, that's going past you there. That is the second most. Genesis is 4. We already got Isaiah. That was the second most. Not Genesis is 4. Psalms is first. There's Psalms. And then, so what is third?
Deuteronomy.
Very good. Get back there too, because I can't throw it that far. All right. So we're talking about the Bible. I have other questions, but we'll move on. The Bible is an amazing book. Even people who actually oppose the Bible, and I don't mean just don't like it. There are people who actually oppose the Bible. Even people who oppose the Bible agree that it's a very important book. It's the most published book in the world. There was a study in 2015, a very extensive study about which books were most read. And so they didn't go by which were printed, because not all printed books actually get sold. They went by which ones got printed and sold, presuming that if a book is sold, at least gets read somewhat. But it did that for 50 years, the most recent 50 years of history. And the Bible was the most published book in the world. The number three book on this, so they made this top 10 list. The number three book, or actually a book series on that list, was the Harry Potter series in the last 50 years. And it sold over 400 million copies. The number two book on that list, it actually dwarfed Harry Potter. It came at 820 million copies. Any idea, any guesses of what it was? No, not the Cat in the Hat. Nope. Quotations from the work of Mao Zedong. It had kind of a captive audience. But yeah, 820 million copies of the little red communist manifesto book. The number one book was the Bible. It came in at 3.9 billion copies. It wasn't even close. And it's good that the Bible is so widespread. We believe that this book that we have the privilege to hold is the powerful, magnificent story of God engaging His world. It's a magnificent, sweeping story of love and betrayal and patience and sacrifice and redemption and relationship. In the pages of this book, God doesn't just reveal things about Himself. In the pages of this book, we have this unfolding story of God working with people to bring about the glorious revelation of Himself. Like, it's not just stuff about God. He is on display in the pages of this book, ultimately, most powerfully and beautifully, according to this book, in the person of Jesus. Now, for the last year and a half, as I was preparing for last year, I thought about doing a year focused on the Bible, and I wanted more time to prepare. So I spent a lot of time thinking about this coming year and the importance of this book, the importance of reading this book, the importance of thinking constantly about how we read this book called the Bible. Now, every time somebody stands here to preach, we want them to learn how to engage the Bible. We want us to engage it, learn about it, learn from it, and allow God to shape us through it. But for the next year, we're going to spend some more intentional time exploring this book, reading this book, and thinking about how we read this book. So to start us off, we're going to introduce our verse of the year for this year. Over the coming weeks, we will get that poster changed to a new poster. We will have magnets that you can take home and be reminding you of the verse of the year. But the verse of the year this year is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. In the NIV, it reads this way. It says, "All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work." How many people have heard that verse before? Many of us have. Some of us maybe grew up in a tradition where the King James Version was used. It says this: "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." There's a lot of different English translations. And depending on the context you grew up in, might be more familiar. One might be more familiar than the other. But for this year, the one that we're going to put up here, the one that we're going to print and give you, is going to be actually from a translation called the Common English Bible. And I'm using this translation for a couple of reasons. One, I think it's a really excellent English, contemporary English translation. But secondly, because if you know this verse in another translation, I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes when you've memorized something, you kind of just fire through the words and you don't think about them very easily. And so we're going to use this translation because if this verse is familiar to you from some other translation, learning it in a new translation will kind of help you actually re-engage it and think about some of the ideas. So this is what it says in the contemporary English, or sorry, Common English Bible. It says, every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. I need you to read that along with me, since we're going to be memorizing it. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. Let's read it one more time before we go to the next slide, because, well, you'll see. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. How well do you remember it? Next slide. Every scripture is inspired by and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to can be equipped to do everything that is good. All right, how well do you remember it? Next slide. All right. Every scripture is inspired by useful for correcting, for training character, so that the person who belongs can be equipped to do everything that is good. All right. One more. Okay, here we go. Every scripture is inspired by God and is useful for teaching, for showing mistakes, for correcting, and for training character, so that the person who belongs to God can be equipped to do everything that is good. All right. We will get you, there are actually copies of that in your bulletin or under the verse of the year section that has been updated. So you get to take that home. We will get you copies to put in other places. So over the course of the coming year, we are going to intentionally engage Scripture, exploring this book, reading this book, and intentionally thinking about how we read this book. To start us off, over the next 3 Sundays, we're going to unpack these verses right here. And we're going to explore the questions of how do we get the Bible? It starts by talking about every Scripture. You know, how do we get this thing that we call the Bible or the Scripture? Then we're going to talk about why is the Bible important, and then we're going to explore, just initially, how do we read the Bible. I'm really excited for these series. Following that series, we're going to start into our study of the book Reunion, written by Bucksy Cavey, who's one of our BIC pastors. And we're going to read this book because everybody reads the Bible through a specific lens of interpretation. Everybody reads everything through a specific lens of interpretation. Have you ever gotten an email and you read it and you're like, I can't believe they said that. And then you talk to them and they're like, oh no, I meant this. And as soon as you hear what their lens was, you're like, oh, that makes sense. That's totally different than what I thought. We all have these lenses on. Some of us need new ones. Every person who reads the Bible has a lens that they read through. Some see it as a rule book, and they read it looking for rules to follow in order to be okay with God. Other people read it as a theology textbook, looking to find out information about God and how He acts in order to be able to give better answers. We're going to start by reading Reunion because it's going to help us center on the focal point of the Bible, and that is Jesus. Our Anabaptist, our Be in Christ tradition, looks to Jesus as the center of that biblical story. It looks to Jesus as our guide to life and looks to Jesus as the lens through which we read the rest of the Bible. So we want to spend this time digging into the good news of Jesus, because that's the foundational basis that guides us as we read the rest of Scripture. So we're going to start with the broad overview of things. We're going to dig into the foundation.